the stage is yours.
Perfect. Thank you very much. So who you heard is your cruise captain, Matias Lievonen, and he will be taking you on this cruise of corporate communication. It departs every Monday in this and other lecture rooms in Agora. Every Thursday also. Tuesday. Okay, so the cruise has some changes in the schedule. But let's start today. So I'm Vilma Luoma-Aho, and for those of you who are just coming in, there's some super good places in the front row. It's always fun to come into the front row, isn't it? And today we are looking at different topics that are emerging in corporate communication, and some of this material is not the same as you will have in your textbook. So the book that you will be reading is Job Cornelissen's Corporate Communication. We have several of those lovely ones in the library, but we will be talking about topics that are beyond that. Now, if you are sitting alone right now, my recommendation is to move to sit to next to someone, or at least see that you can talk to someone. So look around. Do you have someone to talk to? If you're sitting alone, make some kind of eye contact to someone else, because we're going to be doing some talking today. And if you're brave enough, you can even move to sit next to someone you don't know. It's a great idea to sit next to someone you don't know. That it's always more interesting that way. All right, I think we've got eye contact for everybody. So let's start. Some of you might wonder, what on earth is that picture for? So we have all kinds of people from Sinatra to babies to predictions, and this is where communication is going in the future. So when we say corporate communication, we talk about organizations or groups or societies that like to communicate with different groups. They can be their employees inside the organization, or they can be different groups outside, such as the media or investors who want to put money into the organization, or they can be potential clients. This picture is all about the future. So as you can see, AI is something that's really shaping communication. So whatever happens, it's going to be more AI using. At the same time, we find that individuals' attention span is lower. So I'm going to see how long I can keep you guys looking this way, and when do you start flipping through your email or your WhatsApps or your TikToks or whatsoever. But that means that when we are planning for communication in organizations, we are increasingly needing to actually come up with funner and more interesting ways, kind of to feed like little snacks to individuals. And then if we're looking at this picture, you see a big eye in the center. That means that communication will increasingly be visual. We are able to communicate many of the things we now do in written reports in visual format. And not only visual, but also in audio, just by sound. So if you're thinking, where in the future, where are we going? We're going towards more visual, more just sound using communication that utilizes AI. But then you might ask, why is Frank Sinatra there? And why is he singing or asking you to come dance with him? That is a big challenge for brands and organizations. Brands and organizations really want to build some kind of relationship with their client. Not just their client, but customers and other businesses they work with, contractors. The idea is that if you build a relationship with them, you kind of become their friends, etc. I mean, you might have had like a visit or a message from your bank saying, come discuss with us. We would like to hear how you would like to work with us in the future. And it seems like even your toothpaste company wants to have a relationship with you. The idea is, if you have a relationship, you are more engaged to that product or brand. And if you're more engaged, you're likely to buy it again. So it's not just that companies and organizations and brands just want to have a relationship for fun. There's always money involved. They want to do things that give more money in the end. Get the consumer, the individual, to buy more and be more engaged. And then there is a picture of a baby at the bottom. That could be you in your studies of corporate communication, or that could be any consumer that we have out there. The idea is we don't really know what kind of stakeholders emerge. We don't know what they want to know always. So organizational listening is becoming a very important topic. So just to listen to what do the different customers and clients and stakeholders want to know. But let's start with today's lecture. So the biggest concept we utilize in corporate communication is stakeholder. And the idea is, if you are a business, you will for sure have shareholders. And those are the people who actually invest money in your business. So they actually have some kind of a money involved in it, or they are financially invested in other forms. But if you are a stakeholder, you don't necessarily need money. Stakeholder can be anybody who has any interest in the organization or in the business. They can be a neighbor, they can be a competitor, they can be somebody who just knows the owner, they can be a potential client, they can be a regulator, they can be the media representative, maybe a journalist writing about the company. Anybody who has any stake. Now, I promise that you guys get to talk a little, so let's start with that. You need a little money, so I think your plan is to start a little side business here in Jyväskylä. And because you're quite savvy with the computer and stuff, you're going into AI consulting today. So each of you with the person next to you, so pair up or have three people, are about to start a little consulting company. AI consulting. You seem happy? Yes? This is a brilliant way to make money nowadays. All the companies want to know about AI. And if you know a few steps ahead of them, this is a great direction to go. So, your first task as your new AI business is to figure out who are your stakeholders. I'll give you 3 minutes, introduce yourself, and then come up with at least two key stakeholders for your new consultancy. Here we go. 2 minutes. Go. Okay. So, glad to hear that the business is doing really well. You've been able to introduce yourself to your co-partners in business. Let's hear it. Who are your potential stakeholders? You can just shout them out. No need to put your hand up. Customers. Very good. Yes, a very central stakeholder, customers. The business might not work if you don't have customers. Yes. Okay. Who else? Sorry? Investors. Yeah, if you go big. I mean, you might be able to start it with just in your dorm room. You might not need investors at the beginning, but yeah, a great idea to have them. Roommate, a very central stakeholder. Oh my goodness. Imagine your roommate cuts off your electricity. What happens to your business? Not good. Yeah, very central stakeholder. And sometimes the most central stakeholders are the ones you don't really think about. But if they take away their support, your business is in trouble. Who else? Associates. Wow, okay, yeah, you guys have started a really good business here. These guys are getting investors, they're getting associates, so you're getting people who work with you. Anybody else? Rivals. Oh, yeah. I mean, look at this room. There's 200 competitors starting today. It's a tough market, I would say, with so many consulting companies. But I mean, there's a lot of businesses globally, so I think you'll be okay. Who else?
Yeah. Communication
folks. Oh, me. Yes. Okay. Yeah, sure. Because I will, of course, take 50% because I came up with this brilliant idea. Yeah. Good thinking. Who else? Potential stakeholders. Try me. Anybody else?
Employees,
yeah, if you want to have employees. Yeah. Think about also the non-human factors in your business. Who else is a stakeholder? Yeah.
Company providing the AI,
whose AI license you're on. Yes, good thinking. Who else from the non-human sphere could be your stakeholder or could bring new stakeholders into your environment? Social media, that could be a good marketing platform. Yeah. Anything else? What are the things that enable you to work? Say you're working in your dorm room. Who are your stakeholders? Yes, your university. I mean, I guess you are living in a university dorm room. I guess you're utilizing university electricity for it. Maybe sometimes if you're working in the library, you might be utilizing the computers of the university. All of a sudden, they are a stakeholder. They're enabling your thing, or they might actually hinder your thing. As you can see, stakeholders come in all different shapes and sizes. From your roommate to investors or the university, you might also want to consider the tax officers in Finland, because you might be earning something with your business. That means that you would have to collaborate with the tax office. Also, if you want to have a patent of your new company, then you need to deal with those authorities in Finland when you patent something. So AI consulting might be a bit tricky with patents. I give it that. But then the question is, who becomes an audience or who becomes a stakeholder in your world? And we have a theory that's not in the book, but it's something that's really useful in corporate communication. And it can be in the exam. Hint, hint. I don't know if I'm looking at the cruise captain, Matthias, if he's putting this into the exam. He seems to ponder. Okay. So make note. Situational theory of publics suggests that somebody activates as a stakeholder or as an active public when three things happen. So the first one is, do they realize that they have a stake or interest or problem recognition? Do they realize that this is a problem? So it might be that you do first 2 weeks of your consultancy, no problem, everything seems fine. And then all of a sudden, your roommate gets pretty upset by the fact that you are up in the middle of the night talking to some client in Taiwan. I mean, that's how famous you will be with your business. And just your client call is keeping them up. They have problem recognition. They realize that this is a problem and they want to do something about it. The other one is constraint recognition. So do people recognize what limits their actions? Or does your roommate think, if they speak up, will you not be that friendly and share your fridge content? So far, you've shared your butter with them. But, you know, if you kind of have an argument about staying up in the middle of the night, your roommate might think, well, they might not share their butter and they really don't like buying butter and they forget it every time in the grocery store. So you might lose your butter rights, they think. So they might not activate because of that. They think about, what is it going to mean if I become active? The third point is the level of involvement. So how involvement personally are they people, and how likely are they to receive a message that you have, and how likely are they to speak up? As a roommate, you might consider that actually because of the frequency of your meetings, they are pretty involved. But at the same time, you would think, maybe the tax office in Finland might contact you maybe once a year, so not that frequent, but still, they're very involved because you might be making money in Finland. You might also be making money in Taiwan where you had the other customers. So before anybody becomes a stakeholder, there is some things that usually happen. So, and when we talk about stakeholders, we often talk about also the negative ones, not just the ones who are supporting you or helping you. And now, come to think of it, if you are making this AI business happen, actually a very good resource would be the Yrityshautomo here in Jyväskylä that helps you build up new businesses for students. That could be actually a place that enables the whole thing. But when we're thinking about the stakeholders, I mentioned that not everybody is a positive one. And this is also outside the book, but something we cover also in the exam. There are three different types of stakeholders. Now, outside everybody, most people don't really care. So all the people outside, when you go out of this classroom, into the streets in Jyväskylä, most people don't have an opinion about your business. They don't really care that you started an AI consultancy. They don't really care whether you succeed or not. But then there are certain groups that really care for the better and for the worse. So You might have some groups that we call faith holders who really believe in you and who are really loyal fans. Who might be your faith holder in your business? Who might really believe in your business? Yeah, go. Yes, mothers, fathers, grandparents, great faith holders in young people's business. They really do a lot of effort and promote your product and stuff, and also give you support. Who else could be a potential faith holder, so really supporting you? Yes.
Partner.
Who?
Partner.
Partner, yes, that's true. So if you're invested in it, like money-wise or time-wise, your partner is probably going to be a very good faith holder for you. Who else?
Everybody who benefits from it.
Very good. And this beneficiation can be something that they realize now, or that can be something that you tell them. So you can actually make faith holders by explaining through communication to people what they could get from it. Why is it a good thing that you're starting an AI consultancy? All right. So sometimes these people give you support for a reason, and sometimes they just give you support because of their relationship with you or some other coincidence. For many brands and organizations, the most important faith holders are actually long-term employees, those who have worked there for a very long time. And they just have good experiences and they continue to work there. But sometimes companies don't really use them. They don't ask them to speak up, or they don't really help them show their love. And there is a lot of unused resources when it comes to organizations and brands. But then, at the same time, your company might have some hate holders. Those who actively do not like you. They just don't like your company, they don't like you, they don't like the whole idea, and they just don't want you doing this. And if you're doing it, they don't really want you to succeed. Who might be your hate holder? Exes. Yeah, sure. Why not? They were not happy with the way the relationship ended, hence they don't want your consulting business to bloom. Well, makes total sense. So a hate holder can be somebody with personal grind, or they can be somebody with professional grind. Who else could be your hate holder? Who would not want you to succeed? Competitors, yes. So in this room, you actually might have 200 potential hate holders, because they have the same exact business idea. They're starting at the same exact time, and they're going for the Finnish Taiwan market just like you did. It's possible. You don't know. Or then you might need a merger of 200 companies. Unheard of, but it could happen. Anybody else? Who could be a hate holder? Yeah. Oh, very good. Perhaps people who are afraid of AI, or people who are afraid of anything related to that. And they might think that you have been a messenger sent by Satan to destroy them, and that you are actually doing something that will make the society worse. And no matter how much you explain that this is actually just small business trying to pay for my student loans, and I'm just doing this consulting for like companies with good reputation, they might not believe you. They might think this is a fake attempt, that you are actually much more influential than you are letting them know, and that you're actually doing bad for the environment. And not just the environment, you're utilizing electricity, which means you're utilizing also some natural resources that were taken to produce the electricity you're utilizing. Good thinking. Anybody else? Yes, that's true. Your roommate could be a hate holder. And the interesting thing here is that hate holders can turn into faith holders and other way around. So somebody who really loved your business and maybe had a very bad experience can actually turn into a hate holder. And the other way around, somebody who hated your business, if you then talk to them nicely and help them understand why this is a good idea and make some kind of a negotiation, remember the butter and the deal you had with your roommate, maybe you get them extra butter and then they, you know, turn away from their hate-holding stance. Same principle happens on a much larger scale with companies. So sometimes hate-holders happen because of something you did, maybe the ex,
Or something. Sometimes they just happen not because of anything you did, but just because you happen to be in a field that they distrust. So AI, for example. And then in addition to these two groups, there is also a third group, and that is fakeholders. These are the fake followers and accounts and false reviews that somebody writes about your company and makes sure that your company has a bad reputation from the beginning. Or they can also be a group of people that doesn't really exist, but seems to be like fake followers. So sometimes you can have fake holders that actually don't exist really, but somebody who is actually a hate holder is operating them. And these three groups are out there, and usually the loudest one, who would you think is the loudest one? Out of all of these. Lucky guesses.
The hate holders,
yes. There are several reasons why the hate holders are the most loud group. Partly because we have a negativity bias, so our brain picks up more negative comments than positive ones. So we're really good at reading people and finding out what's wrong, much better than we are at reading people and finding out what's right. So that's part of the reason. But also, they are quite loud when they want to get something done. So that's your stakeholders, and now we move on to the arena. So all of this communication and interaction happens on an arena, and we call them the issue arena. So it's an area where you come together to discuss something. So for example, this room is an issue arena because you are here to study corporate communication. Anytime somebody comes into an arena that's established for something, it ruins the feeling for some people, and it makes it better for others. Now, let's imagine that's a big door. So a person dressed up as a Santa Claus would run in, right? Okay. And they would start throwing rubber boots at you, like random throwing rubber boots, not old ones, but new ones, brand new rubber boots. How would you feel? What would you think was going on? Santa Claus dressed person comes and starts throwing rubber boots at you. Who's happy? One person is happy. Okay, I'm not doing a very good job with my lecture then. Who would be a bit confused? I would be very confused. Yes, true. Who would be unhappy? Nobody. Well, a few people might be unhappy, especially if the boot hits you in the head. That would be painful. Yeah. But this is what it looks like in most parts of the social media when a company or a brand comes in and starts advertising. It could be the rubber boot company, and they could have done fantastic market research. How can we reach the young people? Let's reach students in Jyväskylä. Well, let's look at where they are. Oh, they are in a lecture room. Great. Let's meet them where they are at. What do they want? Well, young people want free samples. Let's give them free samples. Let's get them rubber boots. And when do we go? Let's go in the fall when it starts raining. Then we can give them the samples that they really need. Fantastic market research, right? You had the young people, you had the samples. And then who should we hire to give out these samples? Let's hire somebody who everybody loves. Let's hire Santa Claus. And all these ideas look good on paper, but you didn't pay attention to why the people are here. What's the arena and what do they want? We did not come here to be advertised rubber boots to. And because of that, we perceive it negatively. And this is where you need a lot of an analysis of the arenas where you are communicating. When people are together in a place and somebody does something unexpected, what happens is always on the point of whether it was made for that platform or not. So for those of you who actually managed to get like a right size fitting pair of these boots, you might actually go home happy. But if they did market research and they did feedback surveys and questionnaires, most of you would be just confused and negatively thinking, like, why were they here? Why would they not be in the lobby? I mean, I would have liked to try on the boots. I would have been fine talking to them in the lobby, but not in the lecture. And yet, much of communication and marketing in the digital realm happens by spamming. Now, on the different issue arenas, We talk in the book about an integrated approach, so that anything that the company does should be done together with the different departments. So the marketing department needs to talk to the communication department. A communication department needs to talk to the HR department. The IT department is there. The sales are there. So all the different parts of an organization need to be working together to do it. And the arenas that are out there are something that companies really want to get to, because there's people who are already talking about them. They're talking about interesting things. They're talking about things that they want to utilize as marketing things. And the earlier you are on the platform, the easier it is for you to actually join the conversation and start working with the people in a way that they need. Okay, let's go back to your business. What would be, and now back to talking to your new found business partner or partners, what would be the best arena for you to find customers? 2 minutes. Okay. Did you find any arenas? They can be online or offline. Where would you go to find customers? Anybody? Google Marketing. Great. Super. There you will find millions of others as well, but you will also find lots of potential customers. Where else? What would be an arena? Yes. The university. Yeah, why not? Yeah. Right, so you would market to the faculty. Right, okay. Well, you know, that's where you have the expertise on, so that would be good. Yep. What other arena could it be? Where could you advertise such a thing? Any other ideas? Where in Jyväskylä would you advertise? Okay, digitally, of course, maybe at the university. But where in Jyväskylä would you reach people? Where have you seen ads that make sense? Where have you seen ads that don't make sense? Everywhere. You can pretty much advertise everywhere, but where would you advertise that it would not be spam? Where would you advertise that people would not see you as the Santa Claus throwing the rubber boots? In places created for advertising. Sure. Yes, fairs and places where people are already receptive to information. That's a great idea. Yeah? For advertising, yeah. Yeah. Notification boards. Why not? Yeah. Not everything has to be digital. And especially if you are going after the elderly market, there is a market of elderly people who might not know that much about AI, who might actually be very interested in AI. The shops, announcement boards are actually good places.
Perhaps
yeah.
You could invite some potential customers to your office.
Yeah. You could even invite potential people, but that would be your dorm room unless you really blossomed in one day. But yeah, why not? Invite people. The thing is, often reaching people, it takes something that you have in common with them. Right? For people to buy your product or brand, they need to somehow identify with you. If they don't identify with you, they need to have some kind of a promise that you will be a good brand to invest in. Such a promise is often intangible, so non-tangible, such as a reputation or trust. Or you might have a good identity that they resonate with, that they think this is interesting for me. And one thing you do need is legitimacy. And this is one of the concepts in the book that we really like. In corporate communication, we talk a lot about legitimacy. That is your license to exist. Do people in society approve of you or not? At the moment, if you are an AI consultancy of a young person or middle-aged or even older person, you probably have pretty high legitimacy just because there is high demand in the market of something like that. But not everybody is talking on the arena. Some people are in the audience. And when you are starting your business, it might be a good idea to start out in the audience and listen to what the customers and potential consumers are, potential customers and consumers and stakeholders and publics are talking, and then join in when you have something valuable to say. All right. If your company, your new company, is a battery, meaning that some people like it and some people don't like it without you doing much. So maybe you have the grandparents in the loving end, and maybe you have the competitors in the hating end. There are also some other things you need to consider of your new business. So automatically you attract some groups, and automatically you detract some groups. In the book, a lot in the positive side has to do with people who are somehow involved and positively involved. So it would be the sales promotion stuff that's out there, the investor relations who are actually putting money in your business, or just the publicity concepts that we're dealing with. So people who are willing to, like, for example, market your product or your brand. So, for example, people who would write a nice testimonial of your thing. But overall, the big picture is the market. So what's going on in the market? And that would be some kind of an arena where goods are exchanged. And often it's goods and services for money, but these exchanges can be something else, even on the business-to-business level, for example. In the book, there is talk about digital communication, and that's basically where a lot of this communication is taking place. Increasingly, I think almost all forms of corporate communication are turning digital. So if you say, what's the alternative? Non-digital? There's not that much left that hasn't become digital on some level. Then there's direct marketing. And in your introduction to marketing course, you will find out more about that. Then there's community relations. And those are the relationships you will have with your neighbors, for example, and maybe sometimes even with the areas or the people who own the house where you're operating in. That's kind of the community around you, not just the neighbors, but also like the building owners or landlords. Then if your company succeeds a bit, you might actually get a real journalist writing a real story about your product. And even if it doesn't really blossom and get to that level where the news criteria are met, you might have some bloggers who are actually interested in writing about it. And that way you are actually building what's back there as media relations. The challenge with media relations, however, is that it's often only around negative topics. So the media has some criteria. So when a journalist at Helsingin Sanomat or Yle or Keski-Suomalainen starts thinking, should I write this news article about this young student who started this amazing consultancy on AI, they have some criteria in their head. And they think, is it newsworthy? Is it surprising? Is it happening at the close scale to our market where our readers is? And they go through the news criteria. And the news criteria, unfortunately, are often negative in the sense that if something is surprising, such as a death or an accident, it's higher on the news criteria of the media relations than something as in somebody started a new business, doesn't really have an impact. Remember the negativity bias in our head? So we remember negative things more than we do positive things. That's part of the reason. So media relations often in the negative end of your battery. And then we have crisis communication or issues management, which is basically dealing with difficult topics and dealing with difficult stakeholders. So that kind of group happens at the end of here. And then, of course, you need to be taking care of your public affairs, which would be, for example, the government relations, so your relationships with the tax office, advertising, the Google documents that you suggested, maybe buying some Google AdWords, and then internal communication, at least with your partner. If you don't talk with your business partner, you might end up selling the same product for different prices and end up with two very unhappy customers who think that your business doesn't really look professional. So in the realm, there's all kinds of different stakeholders that we have out here. but they are all not positive, and they all have different topics addressed in the book. But let's have a definition then. I said that much of this is actually digital nowadays. Then if we have a definition of digital corporate communication, then how would it go? I would highlight the word strategic. You don't want to randomly communicate to random people. You want to have a specific target and go after that. You have to strategically plan what are you going to say and how will they react to if you say something like this. And the thing you're most worried about in communication is intangible assets. Your trust, your reputation, your relationship with the stakeholders, whether they want to work with you, what are they going to say to others when somebody sends them a net promoter score? So the one, how likely would you recommend this company from 1 to 10? How high do you rate them? That's something that's very interesting for them. So strategic management of intangible assets that can be then turned for tangible assets, such as money. Now, let's look a bit about one of our theories that's going to be probably on the exam. I'm looking at the cruise captain. Yeah, he's nodding. The digital media arenas. This is an overview of everything that's out there when you as a business owner are starting to think about your business. So, at the top right-hand corner, you will have two areas that you as a business owner can control. One is owned, meaning your own website or your own office where you are. And the other one is paid, meaning advertising you pay for. Those are pretty much controlled by you. Then if you move to the left, you can still control the arena, which would be like product placement. That would be if you get like your wonderful AI consultancy company logo in one of the national, or maybe start with Jyväskylä Comets or some other soccer club and their weekend tournament. You get your product there and also maybe sponsor them while you're at it, so get their t-shirts with your logo on it. In the middle is advocated, and this is the employees that work for you. So people who work for the business are in the middle area. You can control them, but to the degree what they will say, you don't always control them. And then we come to my favorite area, which is the weaker control of the arena. So starting from the right-hand side, we have curated media. Curated media is like competitions you take in. So, for example, have you heard of the Best Place to Work competition? They put out a nice report, you pay some money and sign up for it, and then you get ranked. Okay, so you are the third best place to work for in Finland in 2024. And then you get rewards and you get some feedback, but not necessarily is everyone rated, only those who sign up for it. But that's called curated media. So somebody else does the listing and you take part of it. And if you end up winning a thing like that, it really helps your reputation. So as a company, you might want to take part in competitions just to be heard, just to have your name out there. And then we have the rented, and this would be the social media influencers, the TikTokers and the vloggers and the YouTubers who actually rent their own audience to your brand or content. So you can basically take a group that already is there and start talking to them. And then we have artificial intelligence. So I place it here in the middle at the moment because the idea is that if it is a bot that's actually trained with company data, it's somewhat controlled because the company data is controlled by you. But if it is like OpenAI, generative AI, then it would be less controlled. And then we go to the weakest control area, which is something that most businesses worry about. And of course, you do as well with your new consultancy. In the middle, there is shared media. This is social media. What do people write and post on social media about you? Remember your competitors? They might not post nice things. Some customers you might have turned into faith holders who actually tell a good story about you. And others might not really want to post about you at all. Then we have the crowdsourced. what does Wikipedia write about you? Has anybody made a Wikipedia entry of your company? And if it wasn't you, what did they write? Was it true? Was it not true? Could be full of misinformation, but it's out there and people might read it. Then there is earned media. And this is the one where everybody actually calls nowadays when you say media. Most people mean earned media. That means journalists in broadcast or print media houses, like TV, radio stations, magazines, newspapers, people who actually get paid to write the news stories. That's earned media. And we call it earned because there is a threshold you need to pass to be able to earn that. So you might not necessarily get, remember the news criteria? Is it surprising? Is it nearby, etc.? You can Google those, you'll find more. And then we have the searched media. What kind of searches are people doing? When they're searching for AI consultancy, how quickly do they find you? Are you search engine optimized? And if not, you are missing out on this one arena totally. And then at the bottom, we have recycled, and this would be the memes. So the memes that people make of you and your company and your failed products or your failed branding attempts. So everything that's made into a joke and distributed visually around. And then in the bottom hand, we have the hijacked, when somebody actually takes over your stuff or posts a deep fake of you and pretending to make that into content. So just to give you an idea of how these work, we put Sanna Marin here, Finland's past prime minister. And when she is talking about anything that relates to eduskunta, that would be owned because she would then be part of representing the Finnish parliament. Paid would be when she does her advertising for her own elections. Placed would be product placement, when somebody has like a t-shirt of Sanna Marin or something like that. Sponsored is whenever somebody is utilizing her name or her esteemed. So for example, conferences can utilize her name as this is, she will be there. And in that sense, she's sponsoring that with her name. Advocated is when she's representing or she was representing Finland. Crowdsourced was somebody who then writes about her in Wikipedia or something that other people pick up what she did. Shared would be the things that they share on social media. So, for example, the most popular tweets that Elon Musk retweeted with her dancing and partying, for example. Artificial, a lot of artificial for individuals is porn-related. So if you are looking for most artificial content, it would be Sanna Marin porn, which I hear is big. I have not looked into it myself. And contracted or rented would be the influencers who she works with. So she had some friends who are influencers, but she also collaborates with them. And curated would be like the top most influential people. And searched, and this is interesting, the most searched phrase before, 1 year before she actually divorced, was Sanna Marin's spouse. So there were weak signals that there might not be a spouse in the area. So, and then hijacked the whole controversy about whether there was cocaine mentioned or not, jauhojengi, in her dancing days. And of course, the recycled, there was a lot of funny memes made out of her and her partying. Remember the ones where she's at the party and somebody's like, what do you do for a living? And she's like, I'm the Prime Minister of Finland. Music, you know, blooming, and it's really loud. And then the other person is like, what? Nobody knows, but they're still dancing. But yes, let's start summarizing, because I know your cruise captain has some messages for you. In your business world, where you are trying to build your business and trying to start and understand the communication environment, you need to pay attention to the following things. Misinformation. There is a lot of false claims, false content that is spread out there on communication and on companies, deep fake videos that make you look like you're saying something that you're actually not saying. And increasingly, competitors are also utilizing it. Latest example for this would be Swifties for Trump. Metaverse, all kinds of virtual environments where consumers can easily test your product or collaborate with each others. Memes, a very influential mechanism, how to get your message across without really seeming like you're informing somebody. Make a joke about it, because people's brains cannot tell a joke as information or influence. They think it's entertainment. So that's why if you're thinking about like the Ukraine war, one of the most influential ways to affect that war is actually memes, because people don't realize you're doing propaganda on either side, just making a picture. They think it's entertainment. Co-creation. Remember Frank Sinatra at the beginning of the class was asking you to dance? Companies want consumers and customers to collaborate, to tell what they want. They want them to have a relationship. And this is something you guys could be doing if you're working in communication, trying to build that. Brand ambassadors. So anybody who wants to build this kind of a brand and then realize that we need some stronger people who already have a contact, that would be great. Have somebody who already has a name. I think before we end and before the cruise captain takes over, I would like you to still talk to your business partners and come up with a dream influencer. Who would you like to promote your brand or your business? Who would be the ideal person to say, I really recommend this business? So come up with your dream influencer.
Luulisin, että mä tästä en voi laittaa pois. Siellä on vielä yksi jäämä päin mies.
No niin, jätetään. Sä voit hoitaa viimeisen.
Joo. No niin, hyvä, että oot siinä jo, niin ettei tästä tule semmoista, kuka täällä nyt jatkaa.
Hyvä, se oli noussut mun mielestä semmoista tosi hyvä.
Tosi hyvä.
All right, let's hear it. Who will we be hearing from representing or advertising your company? Yes.
I don't know if this is what you're looking for, but for example, it could be our customers.
All right, so the real authentic customers.
Yeah,
why not? That would be very credible of you. That would be fantastic. Transparent, credible, sustainable business. That's what we're... Especially local, yes. Because people really trust people who are like them. So if you have somebody advertising it who they, your potential customers, feel like this is somebody like me, very high trust. Yes. Who else? Yeah.
In the brand ambassador case, a person X who speaks for like productivity or workflow optimization,
that you can afford them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So somebody who has a blog about AI, for example, or blog about workflow or works in a company like that. Yeah.
Someone who uses
your specific. Wow. Yeah. Somebody who actually, yeah, that would be helpful. You might have to pay them. That's true. So you might actually have to make some money before you can get these people. Very good thinking. Any other suggestions? Perfect spokesperson. Do we have any innovators or dreamers who just came up with a really cool name, but you don't really have the money to pay them yet? Elon Musk, yes. You know what? You are not alone. Most of the crypto scams in the world and these are like worth billions of US dollars, utilize Elon Musk, because he is one of the most credible voices in crypto and anything digital. So I'm glad you mentioned Elon, because he really is the name that most people trust, and he's also the name associated with the most of fake and scandals and scams. Anybody else? Yes. Yes. Bill Gates. Oh, very nice. Yeah, you can just say you can't afford him yet. You're just starting today. I mean, your business is, what, 45 minutes old? So, you know, give it time. Definitely a great idea, because that guy has the tech info that you need, and he has the credibility. True. Yeah. They're heavy advertisers. Yeah, the masterclasses. Yeah. That's actually a platform. When we were talking about what kind of arenas are we talking, or what kind of arenas would be good, that would be a good arena. Yeah, but the problem here is, how can they trust you enough to get your stuff on it? Because this is all about your new business. But it's great thinking that this is a great arena. That's where you want to be. People are already talking about it. Yeah. Sure. Sounds good. Yeah. Oh, you can afford it. Okay, let's hear it. Okay, listen up, competitors.
Perhaps it could be me. For example, if I could be some kind of expert in that area, I could give out some kind of, you know, free lectures or lectures in the university.
Yes.
Or I could attend in a lecture in the university as a visitor.
Exactly. Thought leadership. When you don't have real leadership, you build thought leadership, meaning you start publishing on LinkedIn, heavily posting something, putting yourself as a keynote speaker in the weirdest of contexts, but just that you are out there as a keynote speaker. Then you put your own name on your own t-shirt, and you wear it like you like this is a really interesting thing to do. So building your visibility, borrowing from those who already have it. I think I'm going to turn it over to our cruise captain, because I have another meeting starting. I hope he can continue your discussion at some point.
Thank you, Vilma. Let's give a big hand to Vilma for the presentation. And we can then continue with some practicalities concerning this course. Maybe if you have any questions, let's say to Vilma, you can send them to me, and I will then forward them. Same thing with all the general information related to course. You can ask me, for example, after the lecture. You can do it either in Finnish or in English, whichever you prefer. And we can move on from there. The workspace should be already open. So for the both Finnish YTTP 1150 and for the English version of the course YTTP 2150, old Moodle spaces should be open, and all the necessary information should be, you should be able to find it from there. But basically, here's the schedule for the course. Obviously, this is the first lecture now, Monday, September 16th. And from now on, we will continue every Tuesday until 22nd of October. And you will have all the updates. If there are any changes in the rooms, you will find them from Sisu. So please, every now and then, check Sisu page if there has been any changes for the rooms. For the most part, we will stay at Akora on the Martti Ahtisaari Sali, so the big one, Akora 1. And there will also be another lecture in this specific room. I can't remember the exact date now, but you can check it from the Sisu. This is from the course web page. Then you will have three electronic exam dates available or 2 week time frames to do the exam. Final exam will be offered you first in November, between November 5th and November 19th, and then you have 2 renewal opportunities in December and the second one in January. I will tell you more information about the exam in the upcoming slides. But here is the main schedule for this course. And like I said, 6 lectures overall, and the lectures are in English. There are some Finnish video lectures available in Moodle. So if you want to, you know, watch some of the topics in this course in Finnish, you can do that by looking at those lecture videos. There is also a dictionary available at Moodle where you can find the most important terms in corporate communication translated from English to Finnish. And yeah, basically we will upload all the lecture recordings to Moniviestin, so there is no requirement you to be in class if you can't make it. You know, after every lecture, we will add the recordings of these lectures to Moodle, so you can watch them afterwards as well. So that is good thing to keep in mind if you have any overlapping classes or anything like that going on. You can watch them afterwards as well. So this was the first lecture. I will now go through the course practicalities. And this schedule is subject to changes, so it might be so that certain topics and certain lecturers will change, but at the moment it seems that we can follow this plan in terms of the lecture topics. So for the next time, I will talk about more and continue a little bit what Vilma already started. So I will define you more what corporate communication is all about and what it is when we talk about corporate communication in contemporary organizations. I will go the main themes related to that next Tuesday, next week. Then on the third lecture, we will go through a little bit more about the changing media environment, what Vilma also told you about that. We will continue on that topic. And also a little bit about strategy and strategic planning and why it is important, especially from the perspective of communication. Then on the fourth lecture, we will have our another professor, our head of discipline, Chiara Valentini. She will give you a lecture on the role of communication in stakeholder management. This is the current topic for Chiara's lecture, but like I said, some of these are subject to changes, so it might be so that we approach it with a little bit different kind of topic, but at the moment it seems that Chiara is going to talk about stakeholder management. Then we will have Ilja Aalto as a visiting lecturer. Ilja will tell you more about corporate communication in practice. So Ilja is one of our alumni, and he's currently working at a corporation or company called HUM. And Ilja will tell you more about how basically corporate communication is part of his duties nowadays and how he has benefited from the studies in corporate communication field in his current work. And then we will end up this course on 22nd of October. I will talk about a little more about the specialist areas of corporate communication, and obviously we will sum up a little bit, and if you have any questions at the very end of the course, you can obviously ask. I'll probably go a little bit more in detail the possible exam questions as well on this very last lecture, obviously on the other lectures as well, but this is a good chance for you to kind of wrap up things, and if you have any questions related to exam, you can obviously ask on the last lecture we will have. So this is the structure, and like I said, the Moodle environment is open, so you should be able to find the Finnish version and the English version of the course depending on your registration for this course. And obviously, you will have only access to one Moodle workspace depending on the registration of yours. And Moniviestin is the place where we upload all the videos. You should be able to find the links to lecture recordings and all the other video materials from Moodle, and they will forward you to Moniviestin webpage. Then a little bit important information about the course literature. So there will be, I think, over 200 books available for the Cornelissen book. The good thing to keep in mind, however, is that we don't have any e-book available for this course. I know it's a pity, but it is what it is, and you have to keep that in mind. And I think there are over 400 of you who have enrolled to this course. So keep that in mind when trying to loan the book and when preparing for the exam. So there are not so many books available as there are students. There are many of them, but not enough for all of you at the same time. So that is good to keep in mind. And you can check the availability of the course book from university library webpage. If you are able to find the newer edition, 2020, or the very latest edition of 2023, you can also use those editions when preparing for the exam. Even though they have updated some of the content, it is still pretty much the same. And like I said, it is completely doable, the exam, by utilizing the these new editions as well. So it's totally fine. Then something about the final exam. So obviously it will be held at the end of the course, and you can do it online in the exam system. So this means that it is an electronic exam, and you can take it independently in one of the exam rooms in Jyväskylä. There is room available in Akora and then on T building. There is also a possibility to take the exam in some of the other university or University of Applied Sciences in Finland that offer the exam rooms. However, you have to find out by yourselves if you're able to use those rooms somewhere else in Finland. But there is a possibility to take the exam outside University of Jyväskylä as well. So that is good to keep in mind if you are, you know, joining the lectures or joining this course remotely and you live somewhere else, then there is a possibility to do the exam somewhere else as well. There's a link, you will find more info about the exam, how the system works and stuff like that from that link. But basically, the exam itself will have 40 questions. The questions are mostly based on the course book, so it's very important for you to actually read the book. Even though there will be some questions from the lectures and from the lecture slides, like Wilma told you, and there is actually already a couple of good questions that are probably going to be in the exam. But still, you need to read the book. So usually it is not enough just to go through the lecture slides or watch the video lectures of this course, because you really need to take the book in your hand and read it as well to be able to be well prepared for the exam. So keep that in mind. And in terms of grading, so that you're able to pass the exam, you have to get 50% of the maximum of 40 points from the exam. So it means that 20 points are the minimum for the grade one. And then for that on, 24 points give you grade two, 28, grade three, 32, grade four, and 36, and you will get a grade 5 from the exam. So this is quite simple how the grading works. And basically there are no extra points available in this course. Like I said, 450 students, so the multiple choice exam is our way to go in this course in terms of grading. Then A couple of words about the language of the final exam. So, like I told you, some of you have registered for the Finnish version of this course and some of you for the English version of the course. So this is good to keep in mind when you enroll for the exam so that you register the correct exam realization. Because for the Finnish course, the exam questions will be obviously in Finnish, and for the English version, the questions will be in English. So this is very important information to keep in mind. And you should also note that you only enroll in one course, either the Finnish version 1150 or the English version 2150, depending on your preferred language in the course exam. So keep that in mind. Once again, here are the time slots for the exam. So like I said in the very first slides, you have basically three possibilities to take the exam. You don't have to start from the very first one, but then you will have only two options available. So let's say if you start from the first renewal, then you will have another chance on the second renewal if you fail on the first attempt or if you don't get a grade that you were trying to get. And one thing also to keep in mind in terms of when registering in the exam system, so you have to enroll for the exam realization in SISU, and only after that you can start looking for the registration in the exam system. But you can book the exam time only 30 days in advance. So let's say the registration begins in SISU, you can register for the exam realization. However, you have to wait until October 5th to be able to register in the exam system for the November 5th exam date, and so forth. You have to keep that in mind. So there is only this 30 days in advance system in terms of registration when utilizing the exam system. You will find all this information and instructions in the exam system as well, and eventually it's pretty easy to use, so you shouldn't run into any problems with that. If you have any questions, any concerns, obviously feel free to email me, and I will then try to help you out when registering for the exams. But there are certain things that you need to keep in mind in terms of the language and all the practical stuff related to that. And you will find my details over there. So best way to kind of, you know, ask questions from me and get contact with me outside lectures is obviously through email. So if you have any questions to me, any questions to Vilma and Kiara and Ilya on the upcoming lectures, you can send email to me. And like I said, I will then forward them to Vilma, Kiara or Ilya. And if there are any other questions or something like that, we can now have it after the lecture. I don't have any more slides available for today. We can continue with the topics next week. So if you have any questions, you can come forward, or you're free to leave if you will. Thank you.